Live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's the Zach Ballinger Show, where we help you find your direction through passion and purpose. My name is Zach Ballinger. I'm your host. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Two ways you can engage the show. We're streaming live right now via YouTube. So if you have any questions, pop them into the comment box. We'll make sure to get them to my guest. Always, before any show, you guys know you can email Zach at ZachBallinger.com. We'll get to those questions. Greg, thanks so much for joining the show tonight.
Zach, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so you're another addition to our career library. Excited about that. We're approaching almost near 100 episodes of different careers across North America. And yours really struck me because you were in the Air Force, and I would love for you to speak to that career. So can you kind of tell us a little bit about your experience? What led you to go the military route, and what did you do?
Wow. Well, it's really started when I was a kid. I always wanted to be an astronaut. That probably since I was 3 years old. And I went to a few air shows as a kid. And for me, it was always just flying airplanes. You know, I always wanted to be an astronaut. And then to do that, you got to fly airplanes. And to do that, you got to be a fighter pilot. And so right around high school, I was like, all right, what's the best way I can become a fighter pilot? And I got excuse me, my cat is going crazy here. So
that's okay. We take them, we kick cats, delivery drivers, anything.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, he's a crazy guy. Anyway, so yeah, to want to become a fighter pilot, you got to go mainly to the Air Force. So it was the early 90s, and they were cutting back on fighter slots. And so the best way to become a fighter guy was to go to the Air Force Academy, which was probably the more difficult way to do that. And so 4 years there, and fortunately had a lot of pilot slots at the Air Force Academy when I eventually did graduate. And, you know, once I checked all those boxes, I was able to, go to pilot training. And at that point in time, they needed a lot of A-10 pilots. So it's always kind of a balance between what you really want to do and what the Air Force needs at the time. And you got to be able to balance those, be able to navigate that. And some of it was luck. A lot of it was just hard work. And, I prepared, did very well in pilot training, and was able to get an A-10. And so, just to progress along there, I went to Korea for my first assignment. Worked my way up in the A-10 community, eventually became an instructor pilot, and did a couple of deployments. And so I just really enjoyed it and was able to serve my country and see some pretty crazy parts of the world. And now I'm an airline pilot. So that kind of, hung up the young man's job. And now I'm doing more of the middle-aged man's job, which is the airline career. And it's just been a fantastic adventure.
Wow. And so how long did you serve us? And thank you for your service, by the way. How long were you in?
So I'm actually still in the reserves, but it's been about 20 years. I took a few years off there in the middle, but I've done pretty much 20 full-time years in the Air Force.
What did you love about it? Obviously, we're going to get to some things that might be challenging. We can probably pretty much guess what those are, but what's some of the things that you were passionate about?
So the two things I loved about it, I could probably break it down into two broad categories. Number one, I just loved the physical act of flying, going upside down, going low to the ground, shooting things. Just that physical sensation was always a blast. Being up there by myself, you're in charge of this incredibly powerful machine. You have the best view of anybody, within hundreds of miles. So just the physical act of flying was always just a blast for me. And then I'd say the second thing I really liked was just my buddies, the camaraderie. You're going out there as a fighter pilot, you're going out there often in pairs or in four. So anywhere from two to four airplanes at a time. And it's just almost like you're up there, just you're kind of in charge of the world at that point. You and your closest friends, you're in charge of that vicinity, and you're just having a blast doing it. So just the physical act of flying, and then just the brotherhood of it and sisterhood as well. I flew with a lot of great ladies. So that's what I love the most.
So, I think careers sometimes get glamorized, for the good and bad, but I think we have to break through that and figure out what some of the negatives are, because there's always weaknesses and difficulties and challenges with every career. But, you know, if a high school student is out there listening to this interview, which they will, a lot of them would say, wow, Zach, that sounds right for me. I want to fly a plane. I want to work with guns and bombs and go overseas and travel the nation. Doesn't seem like many downsides, but there's got to be. So can you give us some of those, please?
Yeah, the downsides are that it's just a long and arduous process. I mean, if you're going to become a fighter pilot, you first have to get a bachelor's degree. So that in itself is going to take you 4 years. Then you have to join the military. And there's many ways to do that. But the quickest way is to go through officer training school. You can go through, once you get all your testing and your medical requirements done, and you apply, you get accepted. That right there can be a few months. And then you can go through officer training school, which is about 3 months. Then you have to get selected to go to pilot training. And then once you're in pilot training, it's tough. So it's taken you at least, I would say, from high school graduation to pilot training, you're talking about 5 years. And most people today, it takes even longer than 4 years to graduate. So it's just a long process. And to remain interested and keeping your eyes on the goal for that long, you really do have to want it. So that's the hardest part, is just the amount of time. Once you're there, I kind of enjoy it. So once you're there, yes, it's long days. Pilot training, formal pilot training, was about a year long. And then there's some time after that, anywhere from 1 to 2 years it takes to get from when you first enter pilot training to when you're actually completed in your fighter aircraft. And it's Monday through Friday. It is at least 8 hours a day. There are times when it can go up to 12. Actually, in the beginning, it was closer to 12 hours a day than it was 8. And then you're studying for probably one day during the weekend. So it's a long process. Once you get there, the days are very difficult. And you're putting once you are actually in the cockpit, you get a lot of these new sensations that you haven't felt before. So I can imagine what it's like to fly an airplane, but it's hard to describe the heat of the sun in the hot desert. It's hard to describe you can get claustrophobia if you're in a small cockpit, the smell of the gas, all these different sensations that you really can't describe to somebody until they experience it. It can be kind of shocking in the beginning. And some people get actively sick. Air sickness is a problem when you're first becoming a fighter pilot. And for me, I never actually experienced a lot of active sickness, but I will say the first flight that I had, it was an incentive ride where I was in the back seat of a fighter aircraft. I wasn't in pilot training, but it was just more like, hey, we have an opening in the back here. You're in the military. You're going to pilot training. Hop in, kid, go for a ride. And when I got done, I was like, I don't know if I can do this. My body just was, they had to peel me out of the cockpit. I went back to my room. I was just exhausted. It was almost like a 24-hour flu type of difficulty. And you're not really ready for those. And so there's a lot of things that can knock you off your game. And so I think the most difficult thing is just being able to put up with all of that for so many years.
And this is why it's so important for me to do these type of libraries, just what you talked about right there, because nobody would have known that. I mean, I'm sure there's a certain dropout rate with that, even, you know, claustrophobia being an issue in a small cockpit. So, you know, the challenging thing is I always try to prepare my students the best they can before they launch themselves into their career. So what advice would you give for a 17-year-old that's out there or they may even, like you said, they maybe even finish their bachelor's and they're thinking about serving their country. Maybe they're interested in being in the Air Force. What advice would you give them to prepare them before they sign those papers?
So I'll start with a 17-year-old. The first thing I would say to that person is just get good grades. I know it sounds unexciting to say that, but I think people get in trouble when they start trying to fly too early. They think that you're going to have some sort of big benefit because you have 100 hours in a Cessna. Honestly, the Air Force is pretty confident that they can teach people how to fly within the 1 to 2 year time frame that it takes. So when you're 17, you need to get that bachelor's degree. So I would say get good grades, select a major that you can get good grades at, that you're pretty good at, but try to get something a little more technical. So if you can get a STEM type of degree, that would be more beneficial, but it's not mandatory. If you're the type of guy who just, or girl who just loves history or political science, and you're a very good writer, then do that. Just try to get good grades and graduate. That's what the 17-year-old needs to do. Toward the end of college, assuming that you, if you went to the Air Force Academy, a lot of this will be laid out for you. Or if you're an ROTC, that's great. But if you're toward the end of college and you haven't even started the process yet, then look at officer training school. That's a 3-month program where the Air Force takes college graduates and makes them into officers. So there's always a pathway to become a pilot. If you're young and you have a bachelor's degree, the world really is your oyster. But in the beginning, just try to get those good grades. And then toward the end, you can find a way to get to pilot training.
Did you fly before the Air Force in a plane? I'm just curious.
No, I didn't. I didn't. The first time I ever was in a cockpit, like at the controls of an aircraft, was, I want to say it was my junior year at the Air Force Academy. So I was 20 years old. And it was a glider. A glider is where they tow you up behind a Cessna type of airplane. And there was an instructor in the back, and they release the rope, and you glide around for about 10, 15 minutes. And I did that glider program for maybe 3 weeks. And then I think it was maybe the next summer, so approaching the end of my junior year, going into my senior year, I actually flew a powered airplane for the first time. It was a T3, a single engine, piston propeller airplane, and did quite well in that. And then of course in a pilot training after I graduated. So yeah, I'd never even been at the controls of an airplane until maybe a year before pilot training. And it was really nothing crazy. I mean, there are people who the first time they are at the controls of an airplane is in some sort of Air Force pilot training type of situation. So I think it helps to get that experience beforehand. If anything, I think it can help you see if you like it. So there is some value to it, but I wouldn't make that my primary pathway to becoming a fighter pilot. If you're that teenager, early college years, get good grades. That's the best advice I can give you.
And I think this is almost a career where it's kind of easy. You have that intrinsic knowledge. You kind of grew up, you said this before, you wanted to be an astronaut, but you love flying. Mm-hmm. So you have this intrinsic, I want to do this type thing. It's almost like being a doctor. Mm-hmm. You identify it early as a kid. And so it's unique in that aspect where a consultant, you might not even know what that means. And so you may luck into that career, but this seems like more of a passion. When you're a kid, you like planes, you like, flying them. That's always kind of a dream. So you kind of hold that passion near you. Mm-hmm. And then you want to serve your country too. So it seems to align pretty quickly, but also, if you're out there and you can, if you're a student and you go on a trip, even going on these little helicopter tours, like you said, you don't want to put your eggs in that whole basket of where, well, you didn't like the helicopter tour, so you can't be a fighter pilot. But, if you get up there and you get airsick, it's kind of like if you want to be a doctor and you can't handle blood, and if you're mm-hmm. a surgeon, it's probably not going to work. So what do you think of that? Even flying on a plane commercially, it might be something that you weren't able to do, but you ended up still loving and following your dream.
Yeah, you can. I would always caution people not to give up too quickly if you find that the initial shock of the career isn't what you expected. I think that anytime we're doing something new, you're taking in so much information that in itself can just be a bit intimidating. So give it some time. Like I said, for me, my first flight in a fighter aircraft was uncomfortable. But I still pushed through, and I don't know if there was like a specific time where I would have completely given up. You know, maybe I don't know, maybe a half a dozen, 10 rides, something like that. If you're to the point where your instructors are like, we're not sure this is for you. Okay, well then maybe at that point you could, but don't. I always tell people, make them tell you no. Don't take yourself out of the running. So keep going. And you know, if you hit the point where, like I said, you're starting to just not, you know, do well in the program, you know, then you can maybe consider other options. But yeah, for me, it was intrinsic. I always knew I wanted to do it. I don't know why. I think it's, I always was a kid who was sort of a combination of an athlete and an academic. I was never fantastic at both of them, but I was pretty darn good at both of them. And I think being a fighter pilot sort of appealed to both of those sides of me. It took intelligence and it took a lot of research and reading and things like that. But at the same time, it's also sort of an athletic experience. You need good hand-eye coordination. You need to be able to withstand certain levels of physical discomfort and pain. There is an element of danger to it. So I think being a pilot sort of appealed to that. So I think that's sort of the personalities that I think do well in that endeavor. I mean, there are folks that I think are very smart that do very well academically, but maybe you're not as athletically inclined or just not physical type of people. And there are people who are very physical, but then just don't do very well at academics. Fighter pilot, you kind of have to be a little bit of both. And that was always just kind of my personality.
This is so helpful. I never even thought about you had to be athletic. I mean, it doesn't,
yeah.
You know, I've never done it, so I don't know. So, you know, you talked about you have to put up with a huge amount of discomfort. So that's another, you know, could be perceived weakness of it. What do you mean by the you have to put up with pain? I'm assuming you mean scrouched in a little tiny cockpit. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, it's a little bit of that. It's also you're wearing a lot of equipment. So you have a G suit, you have a harness, you have this helmet, you have an oxygen mask. I mean, I could maybe one day if we meet in person, I can show you, you know, a fighter pilot helmet and have you strap on the oxygen mask, and it restricts your breathing. And when people put that on their mouth, like they start to panic. They can't, you know, breathe in the same type of way. It's maybe similar to like scuba diving. It's kind of like you can breathe, you just can't breathe at the same rate that you could without all that equipment on. So the equipment's one thing. Also, a lot of pilot training bases are just in desert locations where there's a lot of room. And so you inevitably are going to have to train during the summer months when it's 110 degrees out and you're wearing all this stuff. And so you're sweating. You also have to worry about your diet and your hydration. People, if they don't hydrate enough, they can get headaches and then they can get sick from that. Of course, if they hydrate too much, then they've got to pee while they're up there on a 2-hour mission. So all those things come into play. Like if you're going to go like run a marathon, you really have to watch what you eat because you can't, you know, you don't want to have to go while you're, you know, in the middle of this race. So there's all sorts of physical aspects to it. Also, just when you're pulling G's, it's hard to describe, but if you can imagine, if you're on a roller coaster and you go down the roller coaster, then you start to go back up again, you kind of sink down into your seat. So that can make people dizzy and sick. If you're in the clouds and you have no sense of what is up or down, what you feel like up might not be up. And so you can get very disoriented and feel like you're upside down when you're not. I mean, there's when you fly at night, for example, you can confuse the stars for little lights on the ground, and you might think down is not down. I mean, what you think is down may not be down. So people have died because they've had these different sort of perceptions of their environment. So there's just so many physical aspects to flying, especially in a fighter aircraft, that you just can't describe, and you can't effectively describe to a person until they've experienced it a little bit.
And if you're up there in the air and they say you need to be up there this amount of time, I mean, how long's the longest time you've been on a mission, just a one trip by yourself and one of them fighter pilots?
So for me, my longest flight in a fighter aircraft was 10 hours. And that's in a single seat A-10. It was a cross country or a flying from, where was I flying from? I think it was the Azores, which is an island archipelago in the Atlantic, all the way to Sicily. And we're not going as fast as a normal airliner. But yeah, it was about a 10-hour flight. And you have to have a good diet to make sure that your system is stable, and you have to have water and food with you. But yeah, it was about 10 hours. And I've heard of longer. I have a friend who went 14 hours. It was during the Gulf War in 1990-91 timeframe. So most fighter flights are around an hour and a half to 2 hours. So they're much more manageable, but they can get very, very long.
I wasn't into the career anyway, as far as for me, but I think you've talked me definitely out of it. That's not what my
passion is. Oh, man. That was not my intent.
But no, I think this has been so helpful just for students that might be interested in this. Now, before I get to some of these questions, you're working on some stuff behind the scenes. I know for yourself that you do a lot of these podcasts. Can you share with my audience what you've been working on and how people can get in touch with you?
Yes, my podcast is called The Greg Carino Show, an original name, I know, and it is focused on experts and people with unique experiences. So I just do a deep dive with a person about what they know. And I've had a lot of military on there. I've had POWs, I've had astronauts, I've had lawyers, and I'll just pick their brain anywhere from an hour to 2 hours. And the whole intent is so that you can learn something, become a better critical thinker, and hopefully have some fun in the process. So yeah, Greg Carino Show. It's up on all the podcast apps.
Yeah. Do you have a website too that people can go to, or is it just simply they find you on your social medias or the podcast links?
Yeah. Website is gregcarino.com. Last name is K-R-I-N-O. So gregcarino.com. You can learn about me and my guests, and we have links to all the podcast apps as well. So head on over there, and yeah, I'm looking forward to having more guests. And if you want to email me, you can email me at gregcarinoshow@gmail.com.
Guys, this is such a great resource. You know, usually all my guests do this, but this is kind of cool because if this is something you're exploring, Greg's got guests that he brings on in this type of work. So don't just watch his show and say, okay, I want to be a fighter pilot. You can check out his show, subscribe to it on iTunes or whatever format you listen to podcasts, and check out some of his guests. It may help you during your career journey, or, you know, even hey, an astronaut. Maybe you always wanted to do that. Maybe you wanted to listen to the show. For others, it seems like a really good podcast just to learn about different unique careers along the way. So thank you so much for sharing that. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Zach. I appreciate you as well.
So a couple of questions that did come in. It says, what other careers did you consider besides a fire pilot when you were in high school or college, or was this the only career that you kind of considered?
You know, it was at that time, it was the only career that I considered. It really was. I think in the back of my mind, I thought, well, if I couldn't fly, maybe I would have gone into the medical field. I think that sort of appealed to the, like I said, the sort of athlete academic in me. But I was full on into getting into aviation, tried to get into space. There were obstacles that prevented me from doing that, but I got pretty close. But I was pretty much one-dimensional on the fighter thing until that would no longer be an option. And it just kept being an option. So I wasn't going to transition to something else until all the fighter aircraft options were closed off.
Thank you for that. And this next question is very specific. It can probably help. It says, flying school looks to be very expensive. You have to take out a lot of loans and stuff. Was this your primary driver in joining the military so you could get your pilot's license that way?
No, I think the reason was not, I didn't avoid civilian flying because of the cost. I think I avoided it because I just didn't really know it was an option back then. This was in the early 90s. I came from a pretty modest family in terms of finances. We wouldn't have had the money to pay for something like that anyway. And I think my dad was a cop, so I was sort of the uniform service was something that was more familiar to me. And I just thought airplanes, Air Force, like I was really just that kind of tunnel visioned on the whole thing. But yeah, you can go through the civilian route. It's more money. That's the bad part about that. The military, it's no money because the taxpayer is picking it up, but it's a lot less freedom. And so you kind of have to decide what you want to sacrifice, you know, money or your freedom. And for me, I just thought the military was the best option. It was an adventure. I didn't have the money to do anything else. So it worked out for me. But if I was recommending one, I would recommend the military. Look at the National Guard as well, because you have a little bit more flexibility to decide where you're going to live. So I didn't know about the National Guard when I was first entering, but you can be in the military and select where you want to go. If you can find a unit that would hire you, it's a much better option. So if you want more details, you can email me and I can help you with that process.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys. Thanks for the questions. Really appreciate it. Greg, this has been fascinating. Very interesting. I think it's an amazing career. Again, thank you for serving your country. Check out his podcast and thank you so much for giving some of your time today.
All right, Zach, I appreciate you having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. And thank you guys for staying attuned. This is the Zach Ballinger Show.